And Jesus here is inviting us to see our lives from a much wider, broader perspective. How much have, well, and this tends to be one of the narratives that we can play for our lives, is that the things that have wronged us can often become sources of our identity, things that we actually hold on to and are proud of. We see ourselves as people who have been hurt. There has been this injustice done against us. There is no emotion as powerful as righteous indignation. It's dangerous. When somebody's done something that hurts us and they're wrong and we're right, that feels good. It actually does some chemical things in your brain that equate it with pleasure. Like this is why social media works so much. This is why our national discourse is getting so ragged and disrespectful and awful, because righteous indignation just makes us feel great. This guy is feeling really justified in choking his servant because that servant owes him that money. We can do the same thing when we start being wronged and recognizing what that person did was wrong. It is clear that they did this thing that hurt me and they shouldn't have done it. They deserve to pay. And Jesus says, you have received so much more than I am ever asking you to give. This is what is incredible about this story. I mean, we have been forgiven 10,000 talents, right? That's an immense treasure. How much have we been given? When? Remember, Jesus, he who has been forgiven much loves much, right? Like, we have been, this is an invitation to see ourselves as the beneficiaries of an immense fortune. You are a winner in the big picture. And there's parts of our brains that want to see ourselves and get kind of a kick off of being injured, being the martyr. We've had all these people do these bad things to us, and life just isn't fair. And aren't we hurt? This story reverses all of that. And Jesus invites us into seeing each one of ourselves as being incredibly lucky, incredibly graced, incredibly a forgiveness that kind of knows no boundaries, right? I mean, 10,000 talents, that's absurd. Jesus says this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And what I think is so beautiful about this story is that the king's not just tearing up the debt. He's tearing up the whole accounting system, right? That the kingdom of heaven isn't a system that is keeping score. It's a system where grace abounds to everyone. And this is a system we are invited into. This is what Paul is telling us. Love doesn't do accounting. Love isn't keeping score. Instead of trying to figure out and make things balanced, and if somebody does you wrong, you do wrong back, love is a system where there is incredible grace and generosity for everyone, even if it's 70 times 7 times that it's required. Because that still doesn't get you to 10,000 talents, right? Lack of forgiveness can be something that is, well, different human beings have different propensities to be able to, some people can forgive very easily, some people have a much harder time with that. There's nothing wrong with forgiveness being something that might be hard for you to do. And I think it's very important to consider what forgiveness, what we actually mean when we say this, because forgiveness doesn't mean at all saying that a wrong that was done to you is okay. There are hurts and injustices that happen to us in our lives. And forgiveness isn't saying that, oh, it's all right, do it again. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness, I like this definition, is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you. I'll say that again. Forgiveness is a conscious and deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't saying something's fine. Forgiveness is saying that you are going to not wish harm on that person in response to the harm they have wished on you. We all get the feeling that, you know, if somebody wronged us, we like to go to the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth thing, right? Like, if you cut my eye out, I'd like to return the favor. Of course, Gandhi said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth makes the world blind. There's a better, and Jesus calls us away from that, by the way. That was meant as a limit on violence. And Jesus says, you have heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And I say, stop. Stop that. If we zoom out and take a wiser perspective, if I have lost an eye, and I know how much pain and suffering that has caused me, and how bad it is to live without an eyeball, I should be the last person to want to add more of that kind of suffering into the world, right? Like, retributive justice doesn't work. A restorative justice that says, if you made me lose my eyeball, maybe you start spending some time helping me see better. That's the kind of justice that works. Jesus is inviting us. Forgiveness is saying that I am not going to wish the same harm that was done to me on the person who did it to me. It's not saying the harm was okay. It's saying I'm letting go of my need to add that more of that harm into the world to feel like things are balanced. Forgiveness is, in many ways, letting go of the hope that the past could be different. There are things that have happened that we wouldn't choose, that we wish were different. But forgiveness is saying that we are willing to leave that in the past. In fact, I think this is what is so powerful about forgiveness, is that forgiveness we think of, to start with, as being something we do for the person who harmed us. But the farther we go, the more we find out forgiveness is actually a gift we're giving to ourselves. If you stop and think about it for a minute, those hurts that you might still be carrying are probably some of the least, some of the things of your life that you wish hadn't happened. Those are the least favorite parts about your life, right? Refusing to forgive is deciding to carry those things with us and construct our lives around the things we most wish weren't part of our lives. How is that strategy going to work out? Do you want more of your thoughts, more of your time, more of your energy directed at that thing you most dislike? This equals bitterness and resentment. If we do not process our hurt, if we are not willing to forgive, we are welcome to carry that with us. But as the Buddha said, this is like carrying a hot coal so that you can throw it at someone else. You will get burned. Unforgiveness is drinking poison and hoping your enemy will die. This is a really poor strategy. It is very much constructing your life around the thing you most wish wasn't part of it. Forgiveness is an incredible gift, not just to our neighbors, but to ourselves. It's saying we are willing to construct our lives around what is right and what is good and what we value instead of what has been done wrong to us. This is a way healthier plan for us, not just our neighbors, not just the people who've harmed us. Forgiveness means being willing to gain a more balanced view of the offender and the event. It happened, we can't change it, but they're human beings too, just like us. It means decreasing negative feelings towards the offender, increasing our compassion for them. It means giving up our right to punish them further. And as much as that might feel counterintuitive, when we step into a bigger reality of a God who has loved us that much, we see that we are simply extending the kingdom of God when we are willing to forgive. It is not just something that benefits them, it is something that will immensely benefit us ourselves. Forgiveness does not mean we are weak. In fact, forgiveness takes immense strength to be able to let go of those things that are hurting us and be willing to move on. But if we don't forgive, like, the psychological effects of it can be incredibly damaging to us and the people around us. Lack of forgiveness, this is from a psychological study done, that it results in higher levels, you have increased depression, anxiety, increased anger levels. But once people are willing to forgive, cortisol levels drop. People report having much more satisfied relationships. They have better immune system function. They have better vascular health. There even appears to be a longevity correlation, that people who are willing to forgive end up living longer and enjoying their lives a whole lot more. We are all going to get injured at some point, and we get to choose how we construct our lives around those injuries. Are we willing to forgive and recognize that they're not things we wish happened, but that we don't need to wish harm on the people who did them to us? We can let go and wish health and goodwill and love towards even the people who have harmed us. And in so doing, we find that we ourselves are given a far greater gift than the gift we gave in forgiving. Dr. Dabney Ewan is a doctor who specializes in burn treatment. And for the last 70 years, he's been practicing. He's 90 now. He's been practicing for almost 70 years in New Orleans. And as a burn specialist, he sees some of the worst injuries in the ER. And people would come in, a lot of people would come in injured on the job. There was a Kaiser aluminum plant there. And he talks about treating one man who came in, he fell into the molten aluminum up to his knees. He came in with absolutely no skin whatsoever. It was all melted off. They packed the man's knees in ice, packed his feet in ice. And Dr. Ewan had him imagine that he didn't feel pain, but that his legs felt cool and comfortable. Dr. Ewan also asked him to hold off on recognizing that there could be some incredible anger associated with this, but to let go of that, to forgive himself, to be willing to forgive the plant. And the man did. He walked out in 18 days without even needing a skin graft. This is what Dr. Ewan began to discover in his work with burn patients, is that if he could get people to forgive, to turn their energy towards positivity and healing, that their outcomes were so profoundly different than when they didn't. If that works on our outside burns, how much more will this work on the burns that we carry inside, in our hearts? We are invited into a healthier, better way of living. Love doesn't keep account of wrongs, not just for the sake of the beloved, but for the sake of the lover as well. We will be far more effective at caring for, at loving the people around us when we aren't holding things against them, when we're willing to let go. When we craft our lives around what is good instead of what is wrong. I believe this is the core to the gospel story, right? I mean, that's what we're doing. The gospel is that God is not holding the wrongs we have done against us. Amen. Praise be. The gospel is that people can change, that God is at work in us, changing us, helping us grow. And if this is true, then that means God is also at work on the people who have wronged us as well, right? This is so hopeful. They are not stuck in being hurtful people either. God is at work in them. And maybe we, as the people who they've wronged, will have the greatest opportunity to show them what love actually looks like. There's nobody who will be more touched by our love than the people who've hurt us. If we can love them, oh man, that's almost like Jesus, right? Loving the people who hurt you, being willing to give of yourself to those who rejected you. That's what we're doing. That's what we're invited into. As we gather around this table, it is to remember that Jesus gave himself for us freely. And when he says, do this in remembrance of me, he's not talking about communion. He's talking about giving of ourselves freely to the people who might or might not reject us. Because that's what love does. That's what love is. And we're all invited to that party. we get to sing about it too.